to Mind Escape. Are you ready?
Are you ready to escape your mind?
All right, folks, welcome back to Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. That's right, Mike and Maurice tonight.
Hello!
We got little old Maurice back.
Hey!
And it was his birthday last week, too. Happy birthday, Maurice.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, he might look like 100, but he's really 17.
They call me the old man for a reason, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we had a nice birthday party for your like little dinner. You know, it was a good time.
Yeah, that was actually awesome. That was quite the surprise.
The funniest part about the whole thing was this kid ate a steak that he didn't even order.
I got a piece of meat, all right? I don't know. I ordered one thing and I got something else.
He just crunched on it. He's like, they must have made a mistake. Yep. Okay.
Well, I was talking to like 20 people at the same time. I was like, I'm just going to cut this and eat this. And
nice.
What am I supposed to think?
No,
I
it was your birthday.
I didn't know. Yeah. I took my cousin's wife's food.
And they look nothing alike. Cause I saw hers. It was like veal cutlets.
Yeah. That's what I ordered, veal.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what's confused why you just started eating. Anyways, it was a great time. Happy birthday, Maurice.
Thank you, sir.
So this is episode number 306, and I thought we would talk about, and I mentioned this because we did part one where I talked about my near-death experience in last November. And at the time, I was still kind of like processing the whole deal, because it was like a big deal, probably the single most important thing that's happened to me in my life, positive or negative.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from like having our son and being married and things like that, but... I didn't want to talk about it at the time, but like I was having like weird psychological stuff, just like I'm never like, you know me, I'm not like an angry person, and I was like angry. In fact, I think I went on a rant to you one day about like AI, which I've now adopted as my assistant, ChatGPT, but you were like, wow, your outlook's so bleak or something. I was just in like a negative space fighting with people online, about sports and just dumb shit that doesn't matter.
going back to his old ways.
Yeah. Going back to my roots. Yeah, so that was kind of where I was at, but we're going to talk about also like if there was any mystical aspects, which there was, and my takes on like what was happening metaphysics wise during the experience and everything. Just riff on that and just talk about the mind aspect of it and the experience. Part one, if you're interested, is I walk through the logistics of what happened, what was wrong with me, what got me to the place where I barely had a pulse and I was taken in an ambulance to the hospital, and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested, go back, watch part one, and then come back and check out part two. But, and if you're interested and you want to support Mind Escape, the best way to do it is click the Linktree link down below. We've got everything on there. Patreon, merch. Leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify. If you're watching on YouTube Live, check us out on Spotify. We also have video on there. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or an audio platform, check us out on YouTube. We do all of our episodes live. I mean, the best way to watch Mind Escape without any interruptions, commercials, ads, anything like that, is to watch us live. So, So what's going on with you before we jump into my stuff? How's everything? You haven't been on in a little bit.
Everything's going good. Just getting this new company rocking and rolling, doing some various projects, and just staying busy, my man. Again,
this guy's ribbon cutting machine here. Chamber of Commerce champion.
Well, I have my partner be doing most of those, but we actually have a social media seminar tomorrow where we're teaching a bunch of people how to do social media posting, capturing, all that good stuff. I'm assuming it's going to be more of an older crowd, so it'll be
Have you
an
ever seen that
interesting.
episode of The Office where they have like the paper selling or like the
I've
seminar
never watched
thing?
The
Oh
Office.
my God, dude.
I gotta watch this thing.
Check that episode out. Anyways, no, it's good to have you back on, and hopefully we get you back on pace for that 1 a month or 2 a month or whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and stick to the, once a month at the very least, but we got some nice guests coming up, so yeah, a lot of stuff is going on, and but we'll make it work, my friend. You've been plugging away, and I commend you for that.
Oh yeah, also I'm in the process of breaking up our documentary As Within, So Without from UFOs to DMT. I'm breaking that up into clips and releasing a clip every few days or so. I've already got, I think, three or four out there.
Yeah, you got three.
Three. So I think we got one with Chris Wolford on his experience, Dr. Gregory Little talking about plasma and everything. And then Shane talking about his personal experiences, which I put out there today. So go check those
Beautiful,
out.
beautiful.
excuse me. Let's get to the juicy bits now, the near death stuff. So where I left everybody off, I went through, explained the health stuff and everything, and right now I feel way better. Like a completely different person. I've completely changed my lifestyle. I work out multiple times a day. I've been drinking tons of this like hydrogen infused water and taking mushroom supplements, and just completely changed everything. Even my relationship with like cannabis and stuff, I've kind of just altered it. Less frivolous smoking, more intentional when I do it, and more, with like a purpose and like a thought. And just putting more, mind and mindfulness into pretty much everything that I'm doing. So, in
Well,
that
yeah,
regard,
I think like it's not what stuff happens to you, it's why stuff happens for you. And sometimes you gotta hit the bottom to kind of bounce off and take a look at yourself through the microscope and
and I
make
didn't
some
realize,
changes.
I didn't realize that was the worst physical shape I've been. I mean, Maurice knows us. We went to school our whole lives, but I was pretty athletic when I was younger. I played baseball, football, hockey, lacrosse. I've always been a bigger dude, but more of like a bruiser on the field type. And I just kind of let myself go towards my late 20s, and just never really took good care of myself again physically. And I've always been trying to work on my mind and fix my OCD, and I've never felt better OCD wise now. And I think we can talk about, I'll get to that in a little bit, but I think part of it at least is taking care of my body, obviously working out, getting out more, just getting your endorphins and your body going, kind of a thing. And
Totally, totally.
so yeah, so right now I feel the best I have physically in a long time. Which is good. So to your point, I think that's the good that came from this whole thing. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is the difference between passing out, like when you faint, like or somebody faints, and then like what happened to me. Like I lost so much blood that I was losing consciousness. I was like fighting it. It was like a different feeling than just fainting, if that makes sense. Like it's not, I wasn't gonna wake up on my own like you do when you faint, like a minute later or whatever the case may be. I fainted in like church when I was younger and stuff. It wasn't even nearly the same thing. So yeah, so I faint. It was like fainting in the sense, but not, because like I said, without intervention, I wasn't getting back up. So anyways, a shorthand of what happened is I had been having some GI issues, and I lost so much blood throughout one day, which I for whatever reason, it just didn't trigger in my mind, whether I thought it was like hemorrhoids or whatever. The amount of blood that I was losing just didn't click in my mind that that was even like a possibility that that could happen, because I've never had anything happen like that in my entire life. So when I was in the shower and I was going down, I called for my wife. She luckily came down, called the ambulance. I get taken to the hospital. But while I was in that bathroom, like in the tub, naked in my own blood. In,
Jesus.
You know, filth. Well, I mean, this is what happened. Yeah. I mean, this is what happened. Yeah. So I was able to kind of get myself up, you know. I'm sitting on the toilet, and they need me to kind of get like clothes on and stuff, like the firemen and paramedics and stuff that were here. And somehow my mom had gotten here in that amount of time. So, I mean, she doesn't live that far, but I mean, I was cutting in and out. And I mentioned this the first time, the consciousness aspect of it was like a movie when they show you somebody in like a hospital bed and it keeps cutting to like black and then somebody new or then black. And like, that's kind of what was happening. It was like a frame thing, like kind of cutting in and out. That's like what my consciousness was. So I was on the toilet, and this is kind of where the mystical experience aspect of it happened, which I'm sitting on the toilet, I'm losing consciousness again, and this like white light, this warm white light like flooded over me, just like envelops me. And it wasn't religious. Like, I didn't feel any sort of connection to anything that was like, oh, this is God or oh, this is Jesus or anything like that. It just felt like comforting. It was this like comforting light that was just like washing over me. And the picture in my background, if you're watching this, DALL-E or, you know, ChatGPT, that's the closest I could get to like what it looked like. Maybe a little bit more bright white, but that's the same vibe, that like tunnel-y looking thing. That's like kind of what I was experiencing in my mind. You know, and I can hear the guy saying, oh, he's barely got a pulse. We got to get him up. We got to get him out of here. And then I hear, you know, my mom saying, you know, something as I'm, you know, in that state. I hear Asher, you know, who's my son, needs his father. And she's like slapping me in the face, trying to keep me up because they want to keep me conscious if possible.
And these are all things you were able to kind of talk about with your mom after, to just make sure you weren't.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Dreaming or anything?
No, she can.
She's kind of.
Yeah, she can. I mean, I would get her on the show if she wanted to do it and talk about it. But yeah, I mean, this is something. My wife was there. The paramedics. She was there. But she was like, Asher needs his father, and like she was slapping me in the face, and then I popped up like after I heard that, and that like snap. I had like a rush of like adrenaline or whatever sort of energy I had. I slipped on a pair of shorts. These dudes put me in this like chair thing to get people, you know, it wasn't a gurney because I was in my basement. It was, I don't even know what it was. It was like some sort of chair that they use. Anyways, they put me in this thing, and I'm a heavy dude, and they left. Four dudes were able to carry me up the stairs. And shout out to those dudes. They definitely saved my life, or at least had a hand in it. I mean, yeah. I think my wife's fast acting actually probably is what saved my life, to be honest with you. But yeah, and then so when I was in that warm light, I think that's probably, look, my heart didn't stop, or at least didn't stop to my knowledge. So I didn't have what was considered one of these, traditional, if that's what you want to call it, like what you hear most people go into like cardiac arrest and then see God or Jesus or something like that. Uh-huh. I didn't have that experience, but the white light thing was very interesting and was like a serene feeling. It was almost like being in like a warm pool with the sun over you, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like everything's like drowned out, and you still have like, I wouldn't say an awareness, it's just like a state of being. And then, you know, you're taking it in. Anyways, so she's slapping me. Apparently I wake back up, or get out of that. And then they get me out of there and I go to the hospital eventually. So once I'm at the hospital, they're giving me fluids, and I was obviously dehydrated, lost a ton of blood. My hemoglobin levels were like super low. They were worried about that and stuff like that. So, yeah. So it was scary. Again, if you're interested in like the whole story of how it all went down, you can go, check out part one. I'll actually track this thing back all the way to this venomous spider bite I had that forced me, because I got a skin infection to take antibiotics. I believe that the antibiotics messed up my stomach biome or my gut biome. And then also from like not taking care of myself and a lot of other factors kind of pushed me into this state where this was happening to my GI tract anyways. But so that's where I was in terms of like the mystical stuff. Again, no God or Jesus or beings or anything like that. I know people that have had those. I mean, what? We did those episodes. You've been
we've done lots of them.
Yeah, it's you've been, what's the, what was the one guy's name? Well, we've had Dr. Evan Alexander on, who's a neuroscientist who had his own near-death experience and wrote the book Proof of Heaven, which is a pretty popular, famous book. We've also had Rob Gentile on, who had two traditional near-death experiences and actually was living without a heart for a while. So I didn't even know that was possible, but they put like a pump slash pacemaker thing in there, I guess. I don't know.
And now he got his heart from a teenage girl.
That was so
he found a new love of peanut butter M&Ms or something.
Or was that, it was like Skittles or something. Yeah, it was like something like that. Yeah.
And he like hated junk food, and then all of a sudden he's listening to Backstreet Boys and eating peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, and then her family said that those were her favorite things too, which is kind of interesting. So
that's
like,
wild. That's
that
wild.
Begs the question, is their consciousness also stored in your organs?
Yeah.
Or maybe at very least your heart. So that's where, in terms of like mysticism and mystical stuff, there definitely was this like moment of grace. Call it what you want. Without Jesus being there, I guess it could have been like a come to Jesus moment for me, in the sense that's like, okay, I'm here to serve my son. I'm here to live for my son, make sure, you know, he grows up and his father's there, kind of a thing. And everything I've done since then has been kind of in the name of that. So, what else did I want to bring up here? Oh, so, okay. When we're talking about consciousness, something in the past where we've talked about how they analyze consciousness through anesthesia or putting people under and then doing like fMRIs and stuff like that. Here's the interesting thing about that. I lost consciousness. And within the same couple day frame, then I was also put under with anesthesia. I think they gave me like a blend of ketamine and something else.
And you remember that?
So this is what I was going to say. They're vastly different experiences. That white light, warm feeling, I got none of that when I was put under for my colonoscopy and endoscopy. So whatever this, I mean, maybe from like a third party or an outsider perspective, it's like a good way to look at it or something, but from a firsthand gnosis or experiential frame point, the idea that anesthetics is the same thing as losing consciousness is not true from my experience.
Yeah, I've had anesthesia before and I don't remember anything. I don't even remember sleeping, you know what I mean? So
Right. No, I mean,
a lot of these experiences, these people seem to have very good recollection of it, whether it is some kind of dream state, which we aren't able to even differentiate that from being false. So I'm careful to choose my words, because again, you could say, yeah, a dream is a bunch of baloney, but is it? You know what I mean? We've had people on here that say that they can project themselves into different situations and places and actually pull out real information, depending on how you look at it. It's been a while since I've been on the Mind Escape, so I got to kind of get myself back in the groove here. I've been very, very sober for a while now, and I find myself finding it peculiar. I have a weird feeling sometimes where it's like, I almost feel like I am separating from my actual self. I almost feel like I'm growing, You know, they used to call me Mr. Vibrations, and I'll kind of piggyback on that. But I feel like my vibration is rising, and then
originally known as Mr. Libations, and then transferred it to Vibrations.
Yeah. But I feel like the higher, like if you can get yourself in a higher state of being, again, you've been kind of poo-pooing alcohol and stuff like that for a long time now. I think that's, I'm not sitting here to judge anybody. For me personally, that's not the path. So I really have, but kind of to get back to this.
Yeah, I would never, if I'm at a party, I'm not going to be like, oh, alcohol is so bad for you. But like, we're having a discussion about like compounds and like the best compounds or compounds that have like some sort of productivity to them, I think alcohol is the worst one. I mean, what are you getting done?
Yeah.
On it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's again, you know, if you're using it to kind of unwind or whatever, if you're watching a mindless show or whatever, it depends on when you're doing it, how often you're doing it. And sometimes you don't want to get anything out of it. Sometimes it's fun to just play a video game that has no value to your life. But I don't know. Maybe it's all in my head or not, but I feel like I'm at the point now where it's like sometimes you look at yourself as, what is this? I mean, have you ever had that experience where you look into the mirror and you're just like, what is this? What is this person, or what is this meat suit?
I mean,
when
I'm tripping on mushrooms,
right. Well, again, this is the thing that I'm getting to, where it's like I almost don't need the drugs. I've been sober for so long, so I don't know. What do you think as of when your body gets into these states? I've always had a theory that you release DMT when you die, and that's like the chemical that bridges you from different realms or different.
I mean, I don't know if I was deep enough into it, but it didn't feel.
I think it sounds like you got a taste.
So what I would say is it felt psychedelic in the sense that when I came out of it, you know, got out of the hospital and everything, I was like, it was the ultimate, like, I need to get my shit together. So like that feeling the next day after you come down from mushrooms or LSD or whatever, you're like, I need to get my shit together. You know, there's that meme of the dude who's like coming down off mushrooms and he's like, he's lawnmowing his roof, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen.
That's cool.
That's kind of like what was going on, but there was no connection in terms of like feeling from like a psychedelic or like whatever that serotonergic, you know, play off of the compound, you know, it fits into the keyhole or whatever was happening with that normally happens when I do psychedelics, it wasn't even similar in my opinion. But again, I didn't go into cardiac arrest, and I don't know if that's like the difference between these people that have these absolute completely disassociated experience or what. I feel like I was close to that if I had to guess based on listening to other people talk about it and what actually happened to me. But yeah, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I got a taste, or maybe I was close to that or something. I don't know. For the first 2 months after, as I mentioned, I was like very angry, would find myself arguing with people over nonsense. Who's the best band or guitarist or sports stuff, hockey stuff. And I'm
so you're very irritable.
Well, I've always been a competitive person, but never, I'm not like fight. You'll never see, have you ever seen me fight with somebody online? Like, I don't do it, you know, like that's just not who I am. So I'm pretty laid back. So it was unusual for me to feel that like angst or that anger, and like, these people are fucking stupid. I don't want to listen to this shit, or I didn't feel like myself. So there was definitely something going on there, and I felt like maybe I should,
which
even
is understandable. I mean, why would you? Like I was trying to tell you, it's like, dude, you went through something traumatic, give yourself a break.
I tried to tell myself that, like, oh, it's been a hard, you know, it's been a hard run here lately, but at the same time, I'm like I said, I'm just not used to thinking that way, and having that like angry undertone, you know. And I didn't like it. I never felt that way, or I was never like short around like my wife or my son or anything like that. It was more just like idiots on the internet or like things, dumb things in life and stuff like that. So, but anyways, if I'm being honest, starting to work out, as I mentioned, taking supplements, drinking this hydrogen infused water. Again, maybe some of these things are placebo, maybe they're not. Maybe there's something to it. I know the mushrooms definitely help. Lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps. I quit drinking coffee, started drinking mushroom tea. So I definitely made a lot of changes in my life. Stopped eating at night. I'm a night owl, so sometimes I'll eat late after work or whatever. I stopped doing that.
And how do you like the mushroom tea?
I love it.
Does it give you energy or?
Yeah, so there's different kinds. I think I have like a mochi mix that I take during the day, which has king trumpet, reishi, lion's mane, that kind of stuff. And then at nighttime, there's like a cocoa that has like theanine, melatonin, all this other stuff. And I notice I've woken up with like less migraines too. I mean, that could, again, it could be a combination of things like working out, getting my blood pumping, taking care of my health, not eating so shitty, that kind of a thing. So, and I've done everything I'm supposed to, going to all the doctors and follow-ups and all that. So, but yeah, I feel now, if I'm being honest, I feel the best I've felt in years. So, to your point, and this is something I was going to talk about at the end, but I might as well just bring it up now. I do think this was like some sort of like meant to be wake up call kind of a thing, because the path I was on was not like a, I don't think I could have gotten away with that forever, if that makes sense, like living like that.
Again, it's that's tough. That's a tough one. What are you gonna? You gotta figure things out, and unfortunately, it takes a real predicament to wake you up. Because if like a little like some gas or something isn't gonna make you change, you know what I mean? It's got to be something real, a real eye opener. It's the same conversation I was having with one of my friends who he got a drunk driving thing, and he actually had to spend the weekend in jail. And I was like, "Well, that's actually the best thing that could have happened to you, because number one, you didn't hurt anybody. All you hurt was your wallet. And if that's enough to change you, then God bless you, because a lot of people, they either need to hit somebody or they need to break something or they gotta do something more significant than be pulled over for the first time. So, like I said, it's a horrible thing that it happened to you, but there's almost got to be a part of you that's like, oh, I'm glad it did.
Oh, absolutely. And I think deep down too, I wanted to do all the things that I'm doing now. I just didn't know how to start. It's like really hard to start something or alter your life in that way. So it's almost like, again, I would never want that to happen again. Didn't want it to happen the first time, but you almost need something that paradigm shifting in your life to happen to then implement the changes necessary to become a better person, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm glad everything is on the up and up, and you've been going to see the doctors, I take it.
I mean, yeah, they supposedly it was some fluke thing. The reason why I was actually like bleeding, I don't have any things that they thought that I had would have. Like they thought that I might have had like Crohn's or something like that. I don't have that, so it could have just been some like perfect storm from the antibiotics and bad gut at the time or whatever, leaky gut. Who knows what's going on down there? But all I can do is try and fix it. You know, I can't go back in time and. You know, I definitely think that that spider bite, it was like a curse. Dude, this thing, you saw
Well,
my
don't go down that. Don't go down that road.
Well,
It's a
I'm just saying,
blessing.
you saw my ankle though, dude. That looked like
Yeah, you had your anklet on. I saw that.
no, but I'm just saying, like it looked like Rob Zombie bit my ankle.
Earth.
But so the other thing too is, and I'll mention this again. My mental health right now has never been better. And for the last 15 years, maybe even more, I've been so focused on how to get rid of my OCD, how to fix my mind, how to keep, achieve this feeling of being normal, if that even exists, kind of like how I used to be in my early 20s. And I think the key is balance. It's taking care of yourself physically, also taking care of your mind. And, you know, we do whatever you want to call it, your soul, your, you know, we all need to take care of that too. You know, you need to go on a trip or have a crazy experience or something that, you know, a little bit of medicine for the soul or the heart, you know?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. Again, we never even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So all we can do is just try and live the best that we can today and take care of yourself. And I always tell myself, it's like, oh, maybe you don't have time for the gym today, or you don't have time to do some kind of activity, but you do have, you don't not have time to do it, because you're going to live longer. So taking that hour today is going to extend your life in the long run. You know what I'm saying? It's like you almost don't not have time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. The other thing that I'll mention too is that I wonder, so one thing I've been thinking about is that, like, white light, that warm white light flooding over me. Was that kind of what people experience, or was I not there? Was I just before there or whatever? Because a lot of what we talk about is how mind influences experience. So, like, if I was super religious or more religious or whatever, would I have seen God or Jesus or some entity, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, or if I was deep down some rabbit hole at the time, or because I'm so balanced in the way I think about, like, metaphysics and the possibilities of life, maybe what I experienced is what, you know, not that I experienced it objectively, if that makes sense, but just that I was aware of my own biases, if you see where I'm going.
Yeah, and you didn't come out of there with any different views or what? Or did it just reiterate what you already kind of believe?
I guess reiterated kind of what I already believed, that there's something that happens and that there's something to it, but that the people that try and, like, paint this picture, they know for sure what it is, or it's for sure this or for sure that. I think those people are full of shit still, but
I don't know. How can they be full of shit if they believe it themselves?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, like, when somebody's so certain of anything, I'll question you immediately, because life is full. The next corner is uncertainty. The next year is uncertainty. The next, how do you know? When you say that you completely know something, you're acknowledging that there's no room for growth or learning or anything like that. So if you're saying, oh, for sure there's a God and this is who he is and this is what he thinks and this is how he loves me and blah, 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 well, then what's the point of living the rest of your life if that's it, right?
I don't know. I think you can learn and do other things, but If there's something that you think is, it's uncertain. You can't say that there isn't anything.
I'm not saying that. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm anti dogma, meaning that I'm anti certainty in any direction. If you say for sure there is a God, well, you don't know that. And if you say for sure there's no God, I fight those people too. Like, let's be honest about what we know and what we can know.
Well, that's the thing, is you can't know one way or another. That's the whole point.
I know, but I feel like putting in the work and doing the research is how you get closer to knowing.
But you're never going to know.
There's no way
you're ever going to understand where the universe came from.
No, I understand, but maybe you work towards this point where you're like, okay, I accept that I won't know anything, but I know enough of this, or I've gone down this path enough to know, you know, more than most people, or I can see. It's like anything else, in my opinion. Like, so again, you can make that argument, like, there's no point to life then, because we'll never reach the precipice of what it means to be accomplished in anything, because we're just the stepping stone or the Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the mountain or whatever constantly. Like, you could just keep saying that all day, but in reality, it's the paradigm shifters. It's the people that go beyond the veil and try and figure out what's going on, or the people that go above and beyond to do more research, or the people that are willing to push the envelope, or the scientist that's willing to step out and say, hey, this is wrong. I think that there's actually something to this madness or whatever, you know, stuff like that. I think that that's what pushes the ball forward towards whatever the thing is. I'm not saying we'll ever reach there, but maybe we're just a small ant, you know, working towards some greater picture that we don't understand.
Yeah, I think, you can go all deep and stuff, but I think it's very simple. You find what the meaning of your life is, and some people are very fortunate and can find that, and some people can't. So once you find the meaning of your life, I think everything becomes very clear. But again, at the same time, it just depends on who you are and your view on things. But if your quest in your life is to kind of gain ultimate knowledge, then maybe that's your thing. For me, it's to create things. It's to create art. It's to I guess just as simple as that, just to create stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
stuff.
That's part of my purpose, though, too, but that doesn't fulfill
well, that's a good point. Now you're marking something, the fulfillment. I'm completely fulfilled with that because it's a never-ending
quest. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, you know me. I write music. I make graphics. I do things. You know, I'm an artistic person, but I'm not – that doesn't scratch that itch.
Well, there you go. You know what I mean? Like I talk to my fiance and I go, I try and dabble in some of the greater mysteries of life. And she entertains those ideas. She was a flight attendant. She saw weird stuff in the sky. She's not saying that there's no UFOs. We talk about Jesus and some of his things that he's done in his life that aren't documented in the Bible. And she's not so, as a matter of fact, like there's other things from other religions that are very beneficial and stuff like that. So
I have no problem with like to your point though, like I'm fine with people living. If you're a good person and you're not evangelical and you're not trying to push a bunch of stuff on, you know, other people or force them to, you know, comply with your worldviews or whatever like that, I have no problem believing in what, if you want to believe in God or any god or gods or goddesses or ancient god pantheon or whatever. I don't care. Like that doesn't bother me. It's when people get dogmatic and say you're wrong or you don't know this or you don't know that. That's kind of where
the point is, she, if you ask her where do we come from, she goes, we're here. Like, I don't care. She really doesn't care. So that's why she has a different outlook and she has a different fulfillment because she literally just, we're here. God made us. That's it. And now she's not even going back down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
it's cut,
I mean,
right there.
For me, it's I have no idea.
But you want to find out.
And life is so weird that it's like, it's just because imagine nothing. You can't even imagining nothing. You're still imagining something, right? You can't even imagine nothing.
Right.
So to go back to, how come we exist versus nothing at all is kind of insane. And it, to me, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, I don't necessarily believe in a bearded Zeus guy in the sky, but maybe some sort of primordial energy, maybe, you know, maybe it's somebody.
I think the bearded Zeus guy is kind of a something that people can latch on to. Because if you try, like, especially back in the day, it's like if you're trying to explain some energy force to somebody, they're not going to know what the hell you're talking about. So if you're trying to communicate it to the normal Joe, especially with not knowing anything, if you say it's in the vision of us, it's a lot easier to think of something in that regard. But even me and my sister, we're both pretty religious, but we both don't think that there's a Zeus guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum in the past on this podcast, and yeah. I don't think that you think that. And I know you've, I mean, from where you, but you've,
I think,
always
your own truth is your truth. Though.
No,
that's,
I know, but
thing.
Like for you, it's,
it, maybe you still got to keep looking. That's all.
Right, but for you, it's like I've known you my whole life, and you, there's been periods where you could give a shit about going to church or God or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm still not a proposal. I go to mass with my fiance because that's the way that she likes to do it. But for me, I'll go out in nature and I feel close to God. Whatever. When you say God, everybody kind of connects you to Christianity. I am Christian, but when I say God, it can be anything to you. It's just the greater energy. So maybe I should call it that, because God doesn't necessarily mean you're a religion based. It just means that it's the higher power thing. So that's what I say is the higher power. But I've seen people turn their lives around finding organized religion. And that, again, it's back to the drinking thing. Like, some people can drink and have a good time and then it doesn't do anything to them. To me, that's not my power. That's not my purpose, is to drink. So yeah. I'm not going to preach to anybody. If you want to go to church, amazing. If you want to go in the woods, that's amazing. If you want to write a song, that's amazing. If you want to, some people that don't go to church are the best people ever than some of these people that think that because they go on Sunday, they can pray and then they can be an asshole the rest of the week. That's bullshit too, you know?
Yeah, I think you were mentioning like people addicted to stuff, and I think a large part of AA is actually predicated on God, from what I understand from talking.
Yeah,
to
I think it's a Christian-based organization. That's
the guy that started it actually had some experience with psychedelics and stuff too. I forget the dude's name, but I think he had some experiences with LSD. I think a large portion. I mean, from people that I know that have been through the program, God and like belief in like a higher being or calling is a large part of that program. And we've talked about this as well. Like, you can go back to Plato's Dialogues and Socrates talking about how it's super important to have a higher power or calling, because once humanity loses that, we start to lose ourselves, and then you see chaos. And that's kind of what we see in the world right now, right? Like, more people are turning away from religion than ever. More people are turning towards trying to fill that gap, whether it be aliens and UFOs, you know, pseudo spirituality stuff, or new age spirituality stuff, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You kind of see that shift. So I think it's very important that We all don't need to be on the same page, in my opinion, is like believing in this person or this God or that God. But I do think it's probably a really good thing to have something bigger than yourself to believe in.
The best part about it is that, well, maybe not, but yeah, I think it just helps you hold yourself accountable to a degree. I don't know. Not that you need to, but I think if you just are a good person, you're a good person, but it's out of control out there. So I'm not here to say that the religion's the answer, but if you think that that there isn't anything to answer to, I could see that getting out of control quick. Don't you agree?
That's what I'm saying. It when you don't have something bigger than yourself to believe in, again, it doesn't have to be like a God, just like an idea or a concept, or maybe it's you believe the universe is God or energy or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you don't have that, and like you said, you kind of just, oh, there's nothing matters then, or nothing, you know, you get into a very nihilistic.
Well, some of those guys say, oh, I'm happy this way.
No, they're not. No, those, like, if you listen to Richard Dawkins talk, this guy is drier than a cracker, dude.
He's got the darkest heart of them all.
And it's not to say that people might not do good science or whatever, but it's just like, you can't tell me that having the outlook that this is all an accident and we just got to kind of have fun or do the best we can or create our own purpose or whatever. You can't tell me that that's not depressing. That's depressing.
Mm-hmm. Well, who is that comedian guy? But he's talking about, you know, something coming from nothing, and I don't know. I'm going to butcher.
Well, there's
the joke,
a scientist. I think it's Krauss. Lawrence Krauss has a book called Something from Nothing about the universe, how he believes that the universe came from nothing. So,
but that's to think that this guy, this little ant, figured out the universe, to me, makes him look like he's a fucking moron.
Yeah, I mean that's what
you
I'm talking about.
You see where I'm coming from with this? It's like you're maybe the smartest human ever, but you're still a pea brain, bro. You don't understand anything. And the fact that you're going to hang your head on that.
Let's get him on here.
Nah, I'm going to chew you up, bro. But I don't know. It just seems so arrogant and so just, who do you think you are that you think that because that you formed on this planet and you, first of all, you don't know a damn thing about anything, but you can act like that that you do. And then now you're going to make these insane claims that, you know what's up, but I guess that's what everything is. You know, he's writing a book and his art is to do that kind of stuff. So I really shouldn't be able to, I shouldn't get mad at the dude.
And you know, so that's been my evolution. So I mentioned the getting angry thing right after for a couple months. Now I'm mm-hmm. at a peaceful state. Now I'm in a state where it's like when I see something dumb or somebody tweet something dumb or say something dumb or whatever, or I see somebody pushing these videos where they're just cranking viewers and super chats and all this stuff, and it's just the dumbest shit with no basis in reality ever. Like, that used to drive me wild, and I used to maybe say things here and there. Now I'm just like, whatever, that's that person's path, you know? Like, that person, they can't sustain that forever because people are going to wise up, you know, whatever these topics, whether it be UFOs, alternative history and archaeology, whatever. I'm already starting to see it where people just like, not that there's nothing to these things, but just that they can smell the bullshit. They're starting to smell the bullshit. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that there's only so long that these sophists can continue. And they're not even sophists because sophists would imply having knowledge. These people have no knowledge. But so I've been letting that all go.
It feels good, huh?
It does. And look, those people are on their own path. They're on their own journey. Maybe they will figure it out. Maybe they won't. But that's not on me. I'm not here to... That was the biggest thing for me is like, I felt like what Mindscape was doing for a while was trying to curate knowledge or curate talking points or curate points of views on these topics. And I kind of don't regret that because it's kind of led me to this point now where it's like, oh, well, you know, I've learned all these things. If you go listen to the first episodes of our podcast, we say some outlandish shit that I would never stick to today, right? So
let's go back and listen. Let's go.
So who am I to do that to somebody else where it's like, I'm going to criticize this person. Maybe they're new. Maybe they're, you know, and some of them are deceitful too. They're knowingly pieces of shits or liars or whatever. But those people will have their karma too. That's not my job to dish that out. So,
well, hold on a second. I'm going to interrupt you. If everybody could hit that like button, we would greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't know what's. I think there's a ton of people watching on Twitter because it says 61 people are watching, and there's only
I didn't know because I'm watching the YouTube thing. But again, if you guys could hit that like button, it really helps us kind of push this out to the masses, and we really appreciate that. Not to interrupt Big Mike over there.
So I'm just kind of at peace with I'm just doing I'm just focusing on me. I don't give a shit about other people's podcasts or numbers or anything that I like, stuff that I kind of paid attention to in the past, because part of what I do, you know, is like, you know, I'm interested in the analytics and how things work and algorithms and things like that. But I mean, there's only so much you can glean from that. So lately it's just like, I'm just going to pay attention to things that I'm interested in and focus, put more time into Mindscape in terms of getting back to the guests, getting back to, you know, some of the knowledge-based episodes and slideshows. I mean, the last episode I did, I read through basically the whole all domain anomaly report.
That's sweet.
You know, the UFO report.
I saw some of that. That's cool, man.
AARO. And again, maybe people disagree with me. I mean, that was just my take. But I mean, I feel like there was stuff definitely missing from it. And I think that the report actually made a few good points, too, that people don't want to acknowledge, you know, in terms of the way that media works and influence on the mind and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I wanted to kind of jump in here. There's two points that I wanted to make. The first one is, when you're a master or you're high above in your domain, whether it be filmmaking, photography, cooking, those guys that are at the top are always the ones that are willing to help, if you've noticed. They're never going to put you down because they've already made themselves. So if you ever see people putting someone down, like maybe they are good, but they're not to the master level, because no master, what does a master have to gain? What does Martin Scorsese have to look at my film work and go, this year, you're horrible? Like, why would he would never say that? He would encourage.
I just picture him. He looks and he goes, "This is shit."
Yeah, he slaps me. No, but no. I mean, he might give you good, correct, constructive criticism. But why? What would it do in his life to put just shit on you? It's not going to do anything to him.
I mean, I agree, though. But there are assholes that have made it that are still assholes.
Again, maybe very, very few. But the people that are poo-pooing you are like looking at you, and they have to say anything negative to someone. There's a level of either jealousy, or you see something of you within them. Why are you connecting that emotion to them? That's one thing that this is going to flow right into my next point, is that's the best part of the electric Kool-Aid acid test, when Kesey's talking about whatever this guy does, that's his thing. He had no view or judgment upon anybody. If some guy wants to lie, he's the liar, and he laughed about it. That's amazing. If you can take anything away from that book, this guy to look at people and see, oh, well, he's the Joker. He makes everybody laugh. That's amazing. He's the liar. He lies. Like, we just know he's the liar. We have friends like that. And I've actually kind of, I'm no Kesey or anything, and I'm not saying that I'm like some elevated human, but I was like, that's what this kid does. If I go over to this guy's house, I think you know who I'm talking about. I'm going to laugh with them. We're going to joke. We're going to have a good time. But that's it. I'm not telling him my secrets. I'm not trusting him with a key to my house. I'm going to go over there and enjoy who he is, because I know who he is. So to me, it's like you have to kind of be the wiser and know what people's thing is. And then, I don't know, I'm always acceptable. I'm not acceptable. I'm always accepting of people. And it's like these people that have these grudges and just have all this anger and hate, again, you're still dipping into this lower vibration. How do you get above it? I'm not saying that it's the easiest thing. I have people in my life that have had spouses and children, and other people have shit on them and have treated them horrible. That's the real test, is if you can take that bullshit from somebody and then kind of look at it and go, I'm going to love you anyway. It's very, very difficult, but that's, again, I think that'll take you up a peg. And I, like I said, I attribute that to the people that have made it, because they have no reason to, they're wealthy. They have money, they have success. Why would they shit on you? If you're shitting on somebody, then there's something that you need to look at within, is my point.
Yeah, those are great points. Chase in the comments mentions the best thing about organized religion, in his opinion, is the community aspect. We're social creatures and we need community involvement. I agree with that. I think that there is definitely a truth to that. I think
and
that
it's not for everybody. You know what I mean?
It's not for everybody. And I'm not religious. I don't go to any church or anything like that, but I grew up Catholic and going to church. So I understand the value of that. I would consider myself a pretty good person in terms of values and morals and the way I treat other people.
Yeah.
I will say though, you know, that can get out of hand too. The second somebody, there's a power dynamic, whether it's a priest or this or a parent or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it can get out of hand quickly. So,
well, I thought about that, and I never even realized back in the day when they had church, like those priests and stuff, they were the only ones that actually had access to the text. It's a little different now. Like, you had to go listen to those guys because they were the only ones that actually could translate the stuff to you and convey the message. Now, today, if you have the willpower, you can go find whatever you want. So I understand it. Like I said, I like the communal aspect of it, and I can see a need. Like, if someone passes away in your life, you can go to a group or you can go to a church and you can find, you know, help there. You can find maybe an answer to something that you're looking for. I have different methods. Like I said, I like to dabble in all of it. I think yoga is a great practice. I think meditation is a great practice. For me, going into the woods and being kind of in the elements is a great practice, but you got to find your own truth kind of deal. I mean, my fiance is very, very religious, and I respect that, and I will go along and stuff like that. I have different views to a degree, but at the core, I think if you can align with somebody and have the same core values, I don't know, I'm assuming you and your wife are like that too. It's important to raise somebody like a, you know, when you have a child now, it's whose core values are you going to instill on them? If you both have different, that could get a little messy, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, that comes up. I mean, my wife's like one of the most compassionate people I've ever met. Now, I think that there's times where you can be too compassionate, in my opinion, where it's hindering your own lifestyle or approach or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that that's, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but I think there's value in maybe me sometimes being a little bit more, not crass, but just like honest.
Well, a couple months ago, he's going to bite your head off. What's going on?
Yeah. No. But just be more honest and open and upfront and like, you know, realistic, I guess, about things. And it's great to be idealistic. I mean, I love idealism and trying to get, you know, make things the best that they can be or try, at least try to. But yeah, I think that you know, to your point, it's a game, you know, it's a balancing act. It's, you know, I don't know. We don't have the religious thing because we're both not really religious people. I'm more of, and this is going to sound cliche, but I'm more of like a spiritual person in a sense. And yeah. I have been, you know, I've been using psychedelics for over 20 years at this point now and meditating and looking into altered states of consciousness and stuff. So that's, I would say that that's more of my religion and things that I've gained that are more precious to me than every single day that I spent growing up in the Catholic Church, going to Catholic schools and church on the weekends and stuff like that. Not that it wasn't great and gave me like a nice moral backbone or whatever, but at the end of the day, if we're talking about nature of reality, metaphysics, things like that, I've definitely gained more knowledge from my own experiences and endeavors.
Yeah. Again, I would say I am religious, but I would never be the one to say this is right and this is wrong. And if you're not part of my group, then you're wrong. 'Cause who knows? All this stuff was splintered off. And I think, man, the human race is responsible for all that. I don't think the energy field, the God, the greater would have that kind of, I don't know, anger. I don't think that they feel that stuff. I think all that stuff was implemented by the man to strike fear into people. That's the part that is a disconnect for me. I don't think that the Lord cares if you wear a suit to see him on, you know, Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? Like this, you were born naked. So,
well, that's what I was going to say. I was talking with my mom.
Show up naked. Let's go.
I was talking to my mom when she was coming over to babysit before we all went out to your birthday dinner. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about going to like an early bird fish fry. And I'm like, fish fry? What are you talking about? I forgot it was Lent, dude. Yeah, and I'm like, I haven't even thought about eating meat on Lent since I was in my teens, you know? So, you know, that's, it's stuff like that. That's like a discipline thing, in my opinion. That's not a, Jesus wanted you to not eat meat. He wanted you to only eat fish or,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, there's more stuff that I don't even know about.
It's like an abstaining discipline thing, if anything, you know, it's
I mean, they talk about that stuff too, where it's like you should deprive yourself from having sex like 1 week out of the month and things like that. Again, it's good to kind of deprive yourself from stuff to see how good it is. That's one reason I love to go backpacking, is because I push myself. I feel like, why did I, every time I go, why the fuck am I doing this? You know what I mean? Like, why did I do this again? But it's, you need that in your life. People get so complacent. They get so comfortable. They get so used to the amenities, and then other problems start. So I love to put myself into the elements and just beat the hell out of my body. Because you know what? When I come back, I love my bed. I love my toilet. I love being able to cook food on a stove and stuff like that. Like, people just get so used to, our whole society is just getting a little bit too comfortable. I think you can agree with me on that one.
Yeah. They're like, sir, you got to quit aqua dumping in Glacier National Park. You are polluting all the glaciers.
Well, some of these guys are so, they're crazy about the nature. They're packing their turds out like they're walking their dog. I'm not doing that. I'm
what,
not
dude? Much,
yeah, they say that.
What? Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
So
like,
people will literally save their own shit
and
hike it out with them until...
Yeah.
And then what? They flush it down a toilet? Like, what are they?
I don't know what they do with it, but to me, if I'm shitting in the woods, like, it's waste, bro. Just
imagine the guy changing that garbage can at the national park. He's like, there's just a bunch of human shit in here.
Yeah, it's like the porta potty at the Bonnaroo Festival. There's turds piled up past the seat. Who took the dump? Who took that dump?
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Unless shit expands in the sun.
These hippie chicks with their bare feet squishing the turds between their toes. Oh my God.
I remember I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I went and I went to the bathroom and I go, oh, I'm going to, you know, wipe now. And I went to grab some toilet paper. There's no toilet paper. So what are you going to do? At least I was a nice skinny dude back then and I pulled my shirt off.
I will say though, the only porta potty story that I love is the one where you came out of the bathroom with two dank nugs.
Yeah.
At Widespread Panic.
That was questionable, though. Like,
no, they were nugs. They were good.
Oh, I know they were nugs, but are we going to get some disease from smoking these things? Like, what's going on? How long were they there? They were dead.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's the crazy stuff you do in high school, right?
Yeah, I was listening, because I've been listening to the Fish Channel, and they've been playing some shows that we were that tour we went in 2003 in the February, I think it was.
Yeah, Chicago
intense,
at the Allstate Arena, and then the two U.S. Bank Arena shows.
Yeah. So, again, not to get too off subject, but I don't even know what we were
talking
about.
Somehow we found our way to hippie stepping
turds. We always
turds.
Find our way back to the fish.
No, we're just talking about like church and community. And so like, I mean, I think that I agree with Chase's sentiment. We are social creatures. And I think that that's why social media is so popular, because we're replacing meeting in person or gathering in person with gathering online or meeting people online, things like that. And I think that that's part of the problem of, or like the growing pain. So like if we're, you know, we're still pretty young country too. We're under 300 years old. I mean, if you look at all ancient empires, ancient Rome, ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, I mean, these are all, you know, some of them fell and had intermediate periods and the sea people invaded and different things. But for the most part, those empires lasted a long time. And if we plan on lasting that long, we better get our shit together. We better, you know, like one thing, you know, I've been critical of Rogan in the past on certain things, but one thing he says is like, he doesn't want to live in like a nation of losers. And I agree with that. Like, get your shit together, start doing your homework, like educate yourself. If you're interested in a topic, go all out on it, learn all about it. Don't half-ass it or watch one YouTube video, you know, learn everything there is to know about it. And that goes for anything. I mean, when I learn something or I'm interested in a topic, I literally start at the root of it and I will work my way through everything there is until I get to a point where I have a general understanding. Okay, you know, this is full of shit, or this person was full of shit. This person kind of had an idea of what they were talking about. And I develop my own theories and hypotheses and philosophies off of that. So, you know, if we're going to last a long time, you know, if you're in the US or whatever, based on what's going on out there, we got to step it up with our education. Maybe we start teaching philosophy at an earlier age.
Well, it's like the working out. We very much have accepted that we need to work out and work on our bodies, right? I think we
need both, dude.
We need to put ourselves in, like I was saying about the hiking and stuff, you need to put yourself into these hard situations. Our society's been getting too comfortable, and it's never been possible until now.
Look
because
at
all humans.
Watch
have had
300.
To
the Spartans were, yeah. were fucking animals, dude.
Well,
nobody
stop
was
kicking them into the pit of death.
No, nobody was taking down the Spartans, and they were physically the most fit. You know, the bringers of democracy, blah blah blah, and you know they get fucked up. You know, like so. It's you can be the best and still, you know. So we're not even putting ourselves in position to do that, is what I'm saying. So. Yeah, and that goes for myself. You know, it starts with we focus on ourselves first. You know, I'm getting my physical health in order, and in that regard will help my mental health and, you know, apply more knowledge to all my stuff. So, you know, that's we got to help each other, too. That's the other thing. It can't just be dog eat dog every single time. There's got to be people lifting each other up if they can, you know?
Well, that's what we've talked about, is the only way our society is ever going to take it to the next level is if we kind of put the disagreements. You have to be okay with disagreeing. And until we're okay with being different, we're all different, but we're all the same. So the beauty of it is that I used to get all pissed off. You don't like this band. You don't know shit about music. But what kind of world would we be in if
you still do that? You'll text me like, listen to this. I'll be like, this is poop. And you'll be like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it, man. You don't like capers? I'm going to kill you. So, yeah. What do you have any words of wisdom to wrap up here? I don't know how long you want to go.
Dude,
but,
you're
going to
wrap up, dude. I'm the chief and commander here, sir.
This guy sits in for one podcast.
You're not going anywhere, bro. This guy wants to wrap it up after he lays one profound sentiment down.
Yeah. Like the end of Jerry Springer where he after people attack each other, he goes, these are my words of wisdom.
We're going to send you jaywalking next.
Well, that was a beautiful place to go is down in Cali. Let's talk to the people on the strip here and see what their thoughts are on mysticism here.
You get murdered.
He asked three questions and he was killed.
No, I mean, look, at the end of the, so back to the near death stuff. At the end of the day, did it suck? It was terrible. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me, but it was also the best afterwards, thing that ever happened to me, which is weird. You know, we've talked about this before. It's like, take a car, you know, somebody could run over somebody and kill somebody with a car, but then somebody can also take somebody to the hospital with that same car, you know, or whatever.
Those were thoughts bestowed upon us by our great friend Chris Emerson.
Yeah, exactly. Shout
like
out to Chris.
Episode number 3.
Yeah, a long time ago we were talking about like Vedanta and stuff. Mm-hmm. But so to in that regard, this terrible thing that happened to me, something I've found for me is I've always turned when life hands me a turd, I try and, you know, polish it into gold, you know, the philosopher's stone, if you will. So me taking this near death experience and almost dying, I've now improved my health. I've gone and got a bunch of stuff. So, you know, I found out I have sleep apnea, which I mean, I snored, but I didn't know I'd for sure sleep apnea. So,
you know, a machine or something.
Yeah. I have to get one still, but yeah, I'm working on that. But anyways, stuff like that. Like I imagine, like I still feel so tired, even if I get like 8 or 9 hours of sleep, you know, and I have to wake up and work all day or watch my son or whatever. It's like, I'm exhausted after, you know, a few hours. So
yeah,
I heard from other people that have sleep apnea that when they started using the machine, it kind of like changed their whole life. So
yeah, you're probably not getting deep sleep.
Well, yeah, I knew there was something wrong too. I remember before the, and so like I was very low in hemoglobin from losing so much blood, but something about my hemoglobin was so off that my previous doctor was like, "Are you have the blood of like an Ethiopian, you know, long distance runner?" No, I mean he was being serious. He's like, "For something with your hemoglobin and your blood's like not right." So like, that's what, you know, that's what sleep apnea will do to you, or not getting enough oxygen in your sleep. So, I mean, stuff like that. Like I said, I'm taking this as a blessing, as a wake-up call, fixing all these different things. I'm going to try and be around as long as I can for my son. And, I mean, words of wisdom coming out of this is kind of stuff that I already said. You know, life's the balance. So, like, whether you believe there's something after death or not or whatever, I think it's important to take care of both your body and your mind, and I think they work obviously, you know, together. So if I learned anything from this, it's that, on top of just focus on yourself, focus on your own interests, focus on, you know, your own things. Don't be so consumed by stuff on social media, other people's endeavors, things like that, you know. And it's hard not to, you know. You see maybe somebody, you know,
I get caught in it. I start going, yeah. I watch like that Lord of the Rings show. I'll see a post on Facebook about the new season's coming and all these people have the laughing emoji. Then I go on there and look. You know what's actually interesting to me though is I want to see, because are those bots on there, you think, saying all the good stuff to try and pump up the show? Because like all the people are just making,
I mean, there's
like,
for sure like, bots on. I mean, I don't know what you're looking, what are you looking at, Instagram?
Yeah, it's on, I think it's on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Oh, for sure. Yeah, Facebook. Yeah.
Because I'll always see these like these movies come out and they look awful, and I see that they get the worst reviews ever, and then you go on to their post and it's, this movie actually was amazing, and it's like something's not right here. But I don't want to get into that kind of territory, because then you're just questioning everything. But there has to be a part of me that's just like, they're spending millions of dollars advertising this movie. They're probably spending millions of dollars, the people that go on there and give them good reviews. They know the power of social media, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, the balance of the body and the mind, and then on top of that, just focus on your own stuff. If we all if everybody just focused on their own stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and when you can, when you're able to lend a helping hand here or there, you know, that's the other thing, is like I think I was kind of hardened, because I've helped so many people that have questions about how to start a podcast, people that wanted me to connect them with other people that, you know, and then these people just like step over me and then will like just use me and block me, or use me and never talk to me again or whatever. So it's like, I'm kind of hardened by the process of doing this podcast and just being a nice person. But yeah. At the end of the day, that's, I thought about a lot about it. I wouldn't have changed any of that. That's who I am. I like helping people. I like problem solving. I like connecting people and connecting with people. So, yeah, I mean, I guess just accepting the fact that people are who they are, and there's going to be, you know, creeps and shysters and all those kinds of people. And then, you know, there's going to be people that use you. There's going to be people that lie. There's going to be people that say crazy shit just to get views and listens and whatever. And all those things can exist simultaneously. And it's just like, I'm hindering myself by focusing too much on that or paying too much attention to that. So I'm just going to focus on what I find interesting, work on my own projects, put all my time into that. And if people like it and follow it, or it something happens from it, or I get an opportunity or it blows up or whatever, awesome, you know. But I don't do this, and I've said this a million times, I don't do Mind Escape because we're making tons of money, because we're not. I mean, yeah, I just started running ads on the audio platforms, and we do have ads, obviously, on our YouTube stuff, too. But it's not something we're, like, making a killing at. If anything, we're barely breaking even from, like, the costs of what it takes to do the show. So I do the show because it makes me a better person. It makes me a better father. It makes me a better husband. It makes me a better, you know, more engaged with the world and the mystery topics. I love talking about mysteries and the origins of life and reality and the mind and things like that. So that's why I do the shows, because I'm truly passionate and interested in these topics. And I'm going to keep doing the show, you know, whether it gets popular or not, or takes off or whatever. It doesn't matter to me, because I'm getting what I want out of it, if that makes sense.
It does, and that's what it's all about. And whenever it comes to creating stuff, you got to make stuff that you like and satisfy yourself, and everything else is secondary. Because if you're not doing it for you, then it's fake. So I appreciate that, everything you're saying.
No, and I appreciate you too. And, you know, you and I are like, we're cousins, but we're also like brothers in a sense that, you know, we grew up together. We were kind of best friends, and we have different connections through different experiences, as well as weird things, you know, like when we had that synchronicity thing happen a couple months ago. I think I did like a microdose or something, and I was texting you. What was that about? I forgot. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you said something. Well, again, the first one wasn't so crazy because you're like, you better watch that. I was watching YouTube Shorts, and you go, you better watch that. And then a video about a watch, which I watch a lot of stuff about watches and stuff. So that wasn't that crazy. I was like, oh, that's interesting. He said watch as a watch popped up. That's cool. And then we were chatting more and more, and then you said something about a mustache, and then a guy with a mustache popped up. And then I was like, I actually want to keep talking to this guy and see what the next thing pops up. But I think I went to bed after that. So I think if you're on the right, yeah, if you're on the right plane, if you're on the right frequency, more and more stuff happens like that. And again, you can call it synchronicities, you can say it whatever you want, but when you're tuned in, things just happen to flow. And I was talking to a guy today about it. I was shooting a music video today, and he had a bunch of ideas. I had a bunch of ideas. I go, keep your mind open, because things will happen that we don't expect. And that's it kind of comes into play with our improv background. Like, you got to have a set plan, but it's also good to be open to whatever the universe provides for you. And it happens in the editing all the time, happy accidents. I'll put a clip over another clip and it'll accidentally be there. And all of a sudden, whoa, that fade, that really works. Where did that come from? And then I've actually embraced it more. And it's like, that happened for a reason. Now, what does it mean? I'm going to go with it and see where it takes me. And I try to just stay open to that kind of stuff. But that's
yeah, I had one. I forgot. I wrote it down. This happened last month. I was watching, because I play fantasy hockey. I love hockey. Go Red Wings. Squeeze. Yeah. We won tonight. We shouldn't have, but we won. Good job, guys. I still think we should fire Derek Lalonde as coach, but okay, moving on. So I texted her. So I said, I'm listening, because we joke around. We like joking around. We think the Boston accent's funny. So I was like, listening to the Boston announcer keep saying Vancouver. You know, I said, it's hilarious. It's like watching Adam Sandler as the Penguin and Billy Madison. And I swear to fucking God, whoever, if he's a bearded Zeus or an energy or whatever, I swear to God, literally the commercial came up like 2 seconds later, and it was it was Navy Credit Union, and it was two soldiers are being chased by a giant penguin, like, you know, the Penguin from Billy Madison.
It
gave me like chills. It was a stupid thing, but it was just like, this is bizarre, you know. It was like one of those things that confronts you. You're like, I can't not acknowledge this thing happening right now, you know.
Yeah, well, the whole reason we started this podcast was based on something like that, so there's something to be said about it. And people can think what they want and call it horse shit if they want, but if it means something to you, then who is anyone to say that it's not important?
Absolutely. Well, that's all I got. So, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to go any further or do like a part three or anything. Bottom line is, I guess the from like a metaphysics or a mysticism takeaway from this thing, the white light flooding over me, and that feeling, and then the coming out of it and everything like that, allowed me to feel like what it was like to lose consciousness and barely have a pulse, which was very, very different than being put under anesthetics and ketamine and whatever the other, I forget the name of the other substance they usually give people that they mix it with. But when they, you know, I had a endoscopy and a colonoscopy done within a couple of days. It was fresh in my mind, the first feeling, and then those two feelings, because they use putting people under anesthetics to do fMRI and study consciousness and stuff. Those two things are not the same. So if they're studying near-death experiences, I don't think you can study it from the putting people under standpoint, because from my experience, that was not the same thing. So, and I had never done ketamine before, so...
Interesting.
I mean, not that I got to enjoy it or anything. I was being put under, but
yeah, the only time I've ever done it, I was intoxicated, so I don't even remember what it does. But I've done it before. It seemed to be cool, but again, yeah.
K-hole Kevy back in the day?
Had some adventures. I had some adventures. Awesome adventures, because no one even remember them, so that was a waste, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were in a different place. You also were drinking a lot, too, during those
days.
That's
what I'm saying. I was hammered. I don't remember anything.
Well, that's why when we talk and we do, like, the trip reports, I, like, write notes down and shit. Because when I do hallucinogenic, or have had in the past hallucinogenic experiences or psychedelic experiences, the insights or I'm meditating or whatever comes from that, I write it down and I record it to myself to look over later. And some of it's nonsense and some of it's like, wow, I can't believe I thought of that, you know?
Yeah, but
when you're partying and stuff, it's a completely different vibe. I don't remember a lot of my psilocybin experiences from like college and a little after that, because we were doing drinking and whatever else, you know, so...
Yeah. Again, it's, you were in a different place. You can't say you made mistakes because you weren't even the person you are today. So,
very true, good sir.
Eckhart Tolle was talking about it. He's like, you can't feel bad about anything you've ever done because you did what you thought was best at the time.
Yeah.
And on that note.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the power of now, I mean, you can say it's woo-woo or this or that. I think the power of now, I mean, it helped me in a really tough transitionary phase with like my OCD and anxiety and stuff like that. Just understanding that, depressions, worrying about the past, yeah, anxieties, worrying about the future. And if you can live in the present, that's probably the best place to be in terms of not allowing your mind to use you for whatever it wants to do, kind of a thing. So,
totally. Well, I'm glad you came out of it a better man. I'm glad you've learned some things, and you didn't have to have such a, like I said, again, I'm not saying that this is a good thing. I'm just saying that it was probably the best circumstance to wake you up, because it has to be detrimental enough for you to wake up. It can't just be these little slap on the arms or...
Well, I was being honest earlier when I said that.
And fucking want to change your life.
No, I was being honest earlier when I told you, like, I don't know if there's anything else that would have allowed me to implement all these new changes into my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You literally need something. It's like, oh, I'm going to die if I don't change my shit, sure. You know? And some people don't answer that bell. Some people don't.
Or they'll answer, I'll go back. So I'll
right.
Be out,
but we know people that like you get the wake up call and that you don't care or you don't, you know, whatever. So.
That's the thing, is the universe will only give you so many chances to before it pulls the rug out from under you. And we've seen some very close and dear people close to us that haven't, you know, whether they're not, their brain isn't there yet, or they're just not paying attention or whatever it may be. They're not bad people for it. They just didn't wake up and see what was going on. But yeah, man, that's exactly right. You gotta be in tune with the universe. You gotta be aware of these lessons that it's given you. And hopefully more people can come out of this. Maybe we wake somebody up from our conversation. You never know. I mean, the whole thing is it's gotta be very, very personal for you to actually care about it. I can sit here and tell 1,000 people to stop drinking, but if they don't want to do it, they're not going to fucking listen to me. Even if they know I'm right. That's
well, I mean, and the further I get away from it too, the more it loses its power too. So you really have to try hard. Like if you go back and watch part one of this, I was like crying at the beginning, just even talking about it. Like it was
an
hard
emotional
to,
month for you. You know,
and then with your brother and just like everything in general, I mean, that happened obviously after, but just everything coming together. I was really at that point, like focused on death. It was just,
it reinforced that life's very fragile. You know, you had a close encounter and then someone close to you died. It's like, wow, this shit's real. It can happen. It's not just some shit that's far away from you. So
we trick ourselves every day too. That's the other thing. You have to just be, count your blessings and tell everybody you love that you love them. And maybe even people that you don't love, maybe make amends with them, because you don't know when the end is coming. I literally woke up that day not even having an inkling that it was going to be one of the most traumatic and profound experiences of my life. So,
but well, I'm glad you're here, brother. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad we got to celebrate a birthday together. That was a blast. And cheers to 50 more.
Yeah, cheers. And As you mentioned, we're going to have some awesome guests coming up here, and I have some other, you know, follow-up episodes from series we were doing and stuff in the past, so look forward to that. And, you know, send Maurice your love if you want to see him a little bit more. Start, you know.
Yeah, leave us some comments. Do you guys like the more the funny stuff? Do you want it to be more serious? We want to hear what you all say. We might not listen, but we want to hear what you have to say. No, we it's a big community and everybody has their own say, and we want to treat everybody with the utmost respect, and we love the feedback. Without everybody listening, we have nothing here. So we're very appreciative of the audience, and I would love to be able to participate more. One chapter of my life is kind of ending and some other things are opening up, and hopefully I'll have some more free time to participate in this stuff. I really enjoyed it. I like laughing and having a good time. So that was good, man. I enjoyed this today.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I love when you're on, and you know, of course, this is partly your thing too. So whenever you get a chance to, you know, jump back on, do it. But listen, yeah, just the best way to support Mind Escape, as I mentioned before, is to click the Linktree link down below. All the merch is all designs made by me, except for our logo, our current logo, our old logo I designed, but the current logo was designed by our buddy Aubrey Nearing. I have his link down below too if you're looking for a graphic artist. Check out our documentary, As Within, So Without, from UFOs to DMT. It's free. We do have a director's cut, which I haven't really been pushing, but we do have a director's cut available on our Patreon, which is commercial free and extended. And I've been turning the documentary into clips as well, so look for those. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Check out our last 4 or 5 episodes. I think we've been really hitting the mark on some stuff, so check that out. And that's it. You know, we'll just keep doing our thing here, at least getting 1 or 2 in a week, and that's all I got. So
sounds good, brother.
All right, well, we love everybody. Stay safe out there, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.